Welcome into the program today, folks. We're going to continue a series that we started a couple weeks ago about looking at four main doctrinal points. And the first thing, of course, is a gospel that you can believe. The second thing is a life that you can live, and that comes out of that gospel that you trust in. There's Bible study that you can understand, that you'll be able to listen to God's Word and be able to understand it. And then, of course, the fourth thing is a book or a Bible that you can trust. And, of course, we're talking about the first thing, that there is a gospel that you can understand. And the last time we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, and we were also looking over in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 through 9. And I'm going to continue this study today because there's a couple things that we didn't really get to finish up with because time got by last time. And I just want you to know that there is a gospel that you can believe, and the gospel that we are to teach today is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that you can have salvation by trusting in that. I've heard people throughout my lifetime talk about, well, I don't believe in that easy believism thing. And that's basically what we're talking about now. That's what people call easy believism. But do you realize that my faith is put into the faith of Jesus Christ, and his faith was shown at the cross of Calvary? And if you've ever read the Bible and you understand what he went through, that's not easy believism. That was something that he dealt with for me and for you. Show me anywhere in Scripture where that was easy for him to go through. It's not easy believism. It's my faith placed in his faith to accomplish what God set forth for him to do for you and I, so that we can be saved, so that we can live the life that he expects us to live, so that we can live in eternity the way he expects us to live. So you can call it what you want, but you go through the Scripture and find anywhere where it was easy for Christ to do that. And it's not. You're not going to find it. You get spit on. You show me anywhere in Scripture where that was easy for him to go through, and he done it for us. So you come along and say, well, that's easy believism. I don't believe it. He went through a lot so that I don't have to, so that you don't have to. We're going to suffer for his sake, yes, but he went through a whole lot more than either you and I could ever go through. The basis of this is we have a gospel that you can believe. So our faith is in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this is what we're talking about. The last time we were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. And Paul's writing to the believers of Corinth here. And he tells them in verse 3, says, "But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And that kind of goes back to the whole easy believism thing. It's very simple. He was crucified for our sins. He was buried, and he rose again so that we could be justified. Go over and read Romans chapter 3. You'll find that out. He was raised for our justification. That's fairly simple, right? But then you have people come along and try to add things to it. And that's one thing that we looked at last week, that people try to corrupt and they try to add to, take away from, water down, deny God's word. And it happens every day. But Paul talks about here, he says, talking about Satan, the serpent, beguiled Eve in the Garden of Eden through his subtlety. And he's worried about the people in Corinth. He's worried about their minds. He says, "So your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him." Now, basically what that's talking about is if you have somebody coming along and preaching another Jesus, anything other than death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you have somebody coming along and preach another gospel that has anything to do with anything other than the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which, guess what? The first lesson that we went over and the second lesson we went over, we're talking about different gospels. You can preach the gospel of the kingdom, but that's not going to get people saved today. The gospel that's going to get people saved today is trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection. That kingdom message has been set aside for a short period of time, and until the body of Christ is fulfilled and we have the rapture, and then the earth will go back to that kingdom message. But you and I today, we're not going to be able to be saved by the gospel of the kingdom. We're going to be saved by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And what Paul tells people here is, I don't want you to be beguiled as Eve was through the subtlety of the serpent. Because he says, don't listen with somebody else comes along and preaches another Jesus or preaches another gospel or preaches another spirit. Or what's he say? You might well bear with him. He's like, if you're going to go and follow somebody else that preaches another Jesus, somebody that preaches another gospel, somebody that preaches another spirit, you might as well just stick around with him because you're not going to come back here. And that's kind of a harsh thing to do. But throughout Scripture, Paul tells us that if somebody is against us, you shouldn't have anything to do with them. Mark them, he says. Mark them that stand against you. You're supposed to know who's against you and who is against the gospel that he is preaching right now. I want you to flip over to Colossians chapter 2 real quick. In Colossians chapter 2, if you ever read Ephesians and you're trying to figure out some things in there, read over in Colossians, because that's actually a book that will actually give you a little bit more information on what you read in Ephesians. In Colossians chapter 2, I want you to read, we'll start in verse 6 real quick. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Let's start in verse 5. It says, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Which basically, let's just stop there for a second. You receive Jesus by faith. So walk by faith. That's what that's talking about. Verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. And remember, the word vain is empty. It's just somebody comes along with the latest and greatest help book, and unfortunately the church jumps all over it. You don't need a book for the purpose-driven life. You've already got it. It's got 66 books within that book. That's the book that's going to give you the purpose of your life. So you got people coming through with philosophy and vain deceit. And notice, all continue on, it says, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Verse 9 says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And I want you to look at verse 10. I just want to throw this out for you. And it says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Now let me ask you a question real quick. If you're complete in Christ, is there anything extra that you need? Do you need another book? You are complete in him. Ye are complete in him. There's nothing extra that you need added on. You don't need to ask for extra favor. You don't need all this other junk. You are complete in him. So you don't need anything extra. Let's go on down to verse 18. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18 says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not beholding the head, which is Christ, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increaseth with the increase of God. Verse 18, he says, it's just a reiteration of verse 8. It says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility. You are complete in Christ. You've been buried with him in baptism. You're risen with him. You're dead in your sins. Circumcision your flesh. He's quickened you together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That's what it says up in the context of this verse, verses 10 through 13. So verse 18, he says, let no man beguile you of your reward. Don't let somebody come along and say, well, you've not got it all yet, and say the way you're going to get it is through a voluntary humility, saying, woe is me, I'm just a poor sinner and I can't do anything, I have to have something, something, something. Do you realize that you have been made complete in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and your faith in that? That's why it's important to believe and understand that it's not easy believism. That's something that you were given based on his faithfulness to complete the work on the cross. And frankly, that's the reason why we call our ministry Cross Work Ministry, because it's his cross work that matters, not us. It's the cross work of Christ. But continuing on, he says, and worshiping of angels. And people say, no, nobody does that. Are you sure? Do you remember the old TV show, Touched by an Angel? I mean, have you seen, there's another problem with angels. If you look at pretty much every picture that has been drawn or painted of angels, depicts them all as women. Do you realize there are no female angels? All the angels are sons of God. They're men. Go back in the Old Testament, read it, and study it out for yourself. All angels are men. There are no female angels. They're all men. Get back to what's going on here. Paul doesn't want us to be beguiled as Eve was. And frankly, a lot of people go to Eve and say, you know, women destroyed. No, the fact of the matter is if you go back to Genesis chapter 2, who was given all those commandments that you shouldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and all that? It was actually given to Adam. Adam is the one that failed to give the information to Eve so that she would not be beguiled or tricked into trusting a different gospel. Just think of it that way. Adam was given a gospel, was given a message, and he didn't take that message and present it to Eve completely the way it was given to him. And when she misquotes what was going on and adds to and subtracts from, that's actually Adam's fault too. So I know a lot of people trying to say, and of course it's usually in a joking manner, that women are the reason that we have so much problem. No, it's not. It's Adam. Adam didn't fulfill his duty as a husband to Eve by making sure that she knew and understood the information that he had received from God, the gospel that he had received from God, the message that he received from God. He didn't do what he was supposed to, which is what a man is supposed to do. He is supposed to be the spiritual leader of the household. And usually when in Scripture, when you find something about being submissive, that women are submissive, it's in spiritual things. So the men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders of the household, and Adam failed at that. But continuing on here, Galatians chapter 1, go over to Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and this is where we kind of left off last time, and we're kind of repeating a few things and adding some stuff in. But Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, Paul says to the people of Galatia, says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into this grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul is amazed how quickly that these people have turned away from him and gone to somebody else. And if we read on down through Scripture, you find out actually who the other people, the other gospel that was given to them. Verse 7 says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So he says somebody comes in and gives them another gospel. Somebody comes in and preaches something different than what he had already preached to them. But he says in verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. We looked at last time, the word pervert means to change by adding to. And what they done was they took Paul's gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and you're saved by that and that alone, and they added works to it. Galatians chapter 2 and Galatians chapter 3, that's what he's dealing with. And we see who the other people were that came in with another gospel. I don't want you to go over to Galatians chapter 2 real quick. Galatians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 4. Says, in that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. So Paul is saying, I wouldn't even give them the opportunity if I were there. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And the word that is a purpose. The reason he wouldn't allow that to come in is so that the truth of the gospel might continue in them. That way they wouldn't be set aside and put underneath bondage by this other gospel that was being preached. But it's not another gospel. It's about Jesus Christ, but there was something added to it. And that's why you have something added to it. That's the perversion of it. So it's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but these people came in and added something extra to it. Somebody was preaching another Jesus, going back to 2 Corinthians. That's what's going on here. Verse 6, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. So the gospel that Paul is talking about in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, saying that I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that has called you into this grace of Christ unto another gospel. The gospel that he is preaching is the gospel of the uncircumcision. The other gospel that these people have been brought under and into bondage with is the gospel of the circumcision. And in verse 7 he says, but contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel in the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, which is James, Cephas is another name for Peter, James, Peter, and John, James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Peter and Paul here kind of come to a head, and this is actually recorded in the book of Acts. And what's going on is Paul comes through and gives the people of Galatia a message, the gospel of the uncircumcision. And then you have Peter that comes along and preaches them another gospel, which is not another, but they perverted, they added to the gospel of Christ. So he comes along and says, don't let anybody else come along and preach to you another gospel, because all that does is put you into bondage. So we have the gospel of the uncircumcision and the gospel of the circumcision. So there's a difference there. We see a difference. Something had the gospel of the circumcision has something added to it, and that something added to it is the law, which is the middle wall of partition that you can read over in Ephesians chapter 2 about. So we've kind of established here what's going on, what some of Paul's worries were for the people at Galatia. And it's not just him, and it's not just that group of people. We still have that going on today, where people are trying to teach and preach the gospel of the circumcision to Gentiles. And God never wants that to happen right now. The gospel of the circumcision should be being preached today. We're not to add to what God has given us. God has given us a dispensational truth. We have salvation through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and him and that alone. And it's nothing extra that we can add on. So I want you to go over to, real quick, Luke chapter 9. We'll see if we can get through more than a couple verses today. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, it says, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority all over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, nor neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now, what's the gospel that they were preaching? It's the gospel, the kingdom of God. So we see the gospel of the circumcision has to do with the gospel of the kingdom. They're interrelated. Get Luke chapter 10 real quick. We'll look at verses 1 through 12. You kind of see the gospel that Peter was to be preaching. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways, behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. And this kind of reminds you of what he just said in Luke chapter 9. Verse 5 says, "And to whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. And in the same house remain, eating and drinking, such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house, and into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets, and the same, and say, Even the dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city." Luke chapter 9 and Luke chapter 10, they're talking about the same gospel. The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. A couple more verses here. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 10 real quick. Matthew chapter 10, and I know we're getting a little short on time, but Matthew chapter 10, we'll look at verses 1 through 14. And this, of course, is when Jesus instructs the 12 and then they're sent forth. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 who are called," and he goes through and it says, are these: "The first, Simon, who is called Peter." So we know this is the gospel Peter is supposed to preach. We'll skip down to verse 5, below all the names. Verse 5 says, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." We see that there's a difference here. He says, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, but go into the house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What's he say for them to preach? Verse 7. "And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats." You read on down, this is the exact same thing that he was teaching them in Luke chapter 9 and in Luke chapter 10. That this gospel is not supposed to go to the Gentiles, but only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now you tell me, who decided that they were going to go and teach that to the Gentiles? That was just something that Peter came along and said, that we're going to go and teach this unto the Gentiles. And then Paul comes along and says, no, the Gentiles has a different gospel, has a different message. Your message is going to be done away with shortly. It will be picked up again, but the gospel of the kingdom is now on hold. I'm going to go unto the heathen, you go unto the circumcision. A couple other verses here real quick. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 24. And I want you to read this real quick. I want you to just read in verse, start in verse 16. And of course, the context here is when Jesus Christ asks him, says, "Whom do men say that I am? That the Son of Man am?" And they give him the answer. Some people think you're John the Baptist, some think you're Elias, and others Jeremiah, and others one of the prophets. Verse 16, after Jesus Christ in verse 15 says, "He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am?" So he's asking his disciples, who do you think I am? Verse 16, Peter says, "Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The rock that he's talking about there, that is going to be the foundation of the church that he's talking about here, the rock that he's talking about is Peter's confession that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. So the gospel of the kingdom has to do with Christ is the Son of God. Okay? How do I know that the gospel of the kingdom does not have a lot to do with the death, burial, and resurrection? Later on it will, but I want you to read in this same passage, Matthew chapter 16. We were just reading verses 13 through 18. Verse 21, after he talks to his disciples and Peter gives that great profession, which is going to be very important for the saints in the tribulation time, the little flock of Israel, that's going to be very important for them. We know that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. But verse 21, it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And what is Peter's reaction to this? He says, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, if the death, burial, and resurrection was good news for the nation of Israel during the gospel of the kingdom, why would Peter not want this to happen? And notice it says, from that time forth, this tells me that this is the very first time that Jesus Christ preached about his death, burial, and resurrection. It was not preached before that you would have salvation through that. Salvation was going to be through, what's it say? Salvation is going to be through that rock, which is that Christ is the Son of the living God. That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 21 is the first time that he tells them that he's going to die. Peter says, far be it from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now, why does Jesus Christ in verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Jesus Christ knew that he was going to have to die, and he knew the purpose of it. Peter didn't. It was not preached before in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, before chapter 16, verse 21. It was never preached that Jesus Christ was going to die for the salvation of the world. What was being preached was that he was going to be the king sitting on a throne in a kingdom that's going to be in Jerusalem. That's what was going on. These people expected Jesus Christ to come in and set up his kingdom and rule and reign from Jerusalem and destroy all their enemies. So when it comes down to this and Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus Christ said, yes, that is correct. And that is what is going to be the foundation of the church that I'm working on building right now. And he says, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And then in verse 21 it says, from that time forth. So right after that he says, I have to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. This was the first time that Jesus Christ had mentioned to his disciples that he was going to have to be crucified and that he would raise again. So what was being taught previously, Matthew chapter 10, and up to this point in Matthew chapter 16, has to do with the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the other gospel that was being preached in Galatians, the gospel of the circumcision. And unfortunately, we've come out of time today, but once again, want to leave you with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Folks, I want you to think right now, where you're sitting in your car, whether you're sitting at home, you don't have to walk an aisle, you don't have to do anything. Trust in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Put your faith in his faithfulness to do what he did on the cross for your salvation. You can't add anything to it. You can't subtract anything from it. You're complete in him.